The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast. This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
All right, LA, four straight losses. Can the Lakers turn this around? And can they do it pulling back on LeBron's minutes? Because the King is playing too many minutes. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. And on your smart speaker, this is the Max Kellerman Show coming to you live from the Seaport District of Pier 17, brought to you by Chase. Got to get to your calls this hour. And I want to get back to the Russell Wilson situation in Seattle, too. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I know if you're listening in L.A., you're like, oh, we're good at quarterback. God, I mean, quite a quarterback situation in L.A. right now. Stafford and Justin Herbert. It's funny because I always compared Herbert's floor to Stafford. I think if Herbert doesn't pan out, he's Matthew Stafford. That's how much I think of him. That's saying a lot. The Max Kellerman Show, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. So can the Lakers get back on track versus the Blazers? Blazers at Lakers tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. I love those Friday night games. End of a long work week. Even here on the East Coast, 10 p.m., it's all right. You're relaxing. My kids are old enough now that the oldest one is still up at that time, you know, FaceTiming or Zooming with her friends or whatever. But 10 p.m. on a Friday, kick back and put on the Lakers game. Damian Lillard will have something to say about whether or not the Lakers win. The Lakers are now third in the Western Conference. They had the best record in basketball for a while. Now they're third in the conference. If they were in the East, they'd be tied with the Sixers atop the conference, but they're not. And again, the way this team is constructed, it's top-heavy, and always the risk when you have a top-heavy team. Because this is not just, you know, you could say a big two, a big three, but are they really big? Are they giant? This is an enormous two in LeBron and AD. You know, when you talk about the greatest tandems in the history of basketball, this is right there with them. Like, you know, take last year, for example. That LeBron and that AD. How many tandems can you say that are better than that? And certainly, it's in the same conversation as any tandem ever. That LeBron and that AD last year is in the conversation. They don't have the track record in terms of longevity. I mean, for any given one season, they're in the conversation with Kareem and Magic, with Jordan and Pippen, with Shaq and Kobe. Notice how many are Laker tandems. But any tandem, any two teammates you want to mention who ever played together, that LeBron and that AD are right there with them. But that's a super hot, top-heavy lineup. And don't forget, one of the reasons the Lakers had such success is they kind of had a big three in the playoffs with Rondo. Rondo's gone. And so is Schroeder, his replacement. Schroeder's a much better regular season player than Rondo. But the playoffs are the coach's time, right? The smartest players, the players who know all the plays because you have more time to prepare, more set plays and everything, those players who know all the plays have an advantage. Rondo. But this ain't playoff time yet. It's regular season. And Schroeder's younger and more athletic at this point. And he's the only player on this team that can get his own shot and create for teammates other than LeBron. So what is LeBron supposed to do? What are the Lakers supposed to do with LeBron? He's in his 18th season. No one who's ever played this many minutes ever in the history of the NBA has played on the level LeBron's playing right now. So every day he goes out there, he resets his own record for longevity at this level. Even Kareem was diminished beyond where LeBron is right now by the time he's in his 18th season. And Kareem was like the all-time example of a guy who was still great so many years into his career. Kobe, the same thing. LeBron's still doing it. But remember what happened to Kobe? Too many minutes for two. There was a two-week stretch that season of the super team with Steve Nash and Pau Gasol and Dwight Howard. We were supposed to meet the Heat for the championship that year, and they weren't going to make the playoffs. And Kobe staged a mutiny on that team. He was like, I'm running the show now because D'Antoni's thing isn't working for us. And maybe partly because Kobe didn't buy in, but whatever. That's the coach's job. Get the star to buy in. Get the superstar to buy in. Kobe took over. They went 26-12, I want to say, over their last 38 games to make the playoffs. He played him into the playoffs. He led them into the playoffs, but played himself over 40 minutes a night. I think it's like 44 minutes a night. And I was on 7:10 in L.A. with Marcellus Wiley, Max and Marcellus at the time, afternoon drive, home of the Lakers, saying every day, like, D'Antoni's got to stand up to Kobe. He's got to tell him, no, you can't play, because given the miles on Kobe's legs, something, you know, there's a risk for catastrophic injury. And just like that, the Achilles went. Kobe was never the same. He scored 60 in his last game because he's gangster. But he was never the same, obviously, after the Achilles at his age. You got to be careful with LeBron. That's the whole shooting match. I know it feels like desperate times, because who else do you have without not only AD, where everything changes, but also without Schroeder, the third best player, the only other guy other than LeBron who can get his own shot and create for teammates. You still have to be disciplined and not overplay LeBron. And I know he's at press conferences talking about, well, I'm not talking about load management or whatever, or, people are making too big a deal of it. Yes, LeBron, yes, I'm going to make a big deal of it. I want you healthy. Kendrick Perkins, ESPN NBA analyst on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin in the morning on AD's injury.
I thought at the beginning of the season and the offseason, I thought the Lakers upgraded tremendously. But I think right now with Anthony Davis being out and Dennis Schroeder being out, it has been a blessing in disguise for the Lakers, because now they're able to see that their role players are not what they thought they were, and that they do need to upgrade even more as far as getting shooting in there. Maybe getting a guy like J.J. Redick and acquiring a big man like a Hassan Whiteside or maybe Andre Drummond, because no disrespect to Marc Gasol, but he's just not it right now. He's not that dynamic roller. He's not that anchor on the defensive end, and they need that. They missed JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard tremendously.
I agree with everything Kendrick Perkins said, except I would add that the blessing in disguise, or the silver lining of AD's injury, is that you find out what you need. Yes, and on the roster, fine, you can tweak that. But it's also a silver lining because LeBron can find out more about his teammates. Remember, I keep bringing this up, in Miami and in Cleveland the second time around, they started slow some years. Bad records, or at least not like dominant records. 8-7, that type of stuff. Through 15 games, as memory serves. And that was because LeBron was finding out about guys. Can this guy handle that? Can this guy handle that? And no, okay, what? Well, then he doesn't give up on guys. He says, well, what can they handle? What if I put him in this situation? LeBron's hunting mismatches constantly and trying to put guys in. He's a coach on the floor. Like all great point guards or point forwards or whatever you want to call them. Conductors of the orchestra. He's putting people in positions to succeed like a coach, but he's got to figure out what they can handle. And part of that's not just intuition, it's trial and error. Okay, this guy can't handle that. This guy can. What if I did this? And while he's figuring that out, his teams can start losing, especially if they're tired, all-star games coming up, all that. And he doesn't have Schroeder, and he doesn't have AD. The issue now is you can't lose every game while you're doing it. They're going to have to start winning some games. Steven in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, how are you doing? Good to talk to you. I was just curious, what piece do you think that the Lakers are going to need? I mean, do you think it's even going to be enough to handle Brooklyn when they get to that great offense like you're saying?
I couldn't hear you real well, but I think you said, what other piece do I think the Lakers need?
Correct. Yeah. What other piece do you think that they need? And then also, is that going to be enough if
the Nets,
Nets turn into exactly what you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it'll be enough. The Nets team, like, it didn't have to work out this way with the Nets. It did not have to work. Like, Harden and Kyrie did not have to be this selfless. It didn't have to work out that way. I kept bringing up when the Knicks traded once upon a time for Earl the Pearl Monroe. Black Jesus. Go watch YouTube, kids, of Earl the Pearl. His like, it looks like some advanced street ball stuff from today, but better. They called him Black Jesus for a reason. And a divisional rival traded him to the Knicks, who already had Walt Clyde Frazier, who'd won a championship. They were two ball-dominant guards. There's only one ball. How are they going to share the same backcourt? They made sacrifices because they wanted to win. They wanted to be great, and they won a championship together. Well, Kyrie and Harden have done that already. They haven't won a championship, but they're showing you what they're about. This Nets team is going to be impossible, and I think it's likely the Lakers will have to upgrade by the deadline. Dan Orlovsky Oh, wait, before I even introduce Dan, the NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in tomorrow night as Durant and the Nets. Speaking of Durant and the Nets, host Luka and the Mavs, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
Russ, say what you want. Say what you want the Seattle Seahawks to do, whether that's trade you or what they need to do from a player acquisition standpoint.
If the Seattle Seahawks are not in the next Super Bowl, someone's going to have to go.
And my old nemesis, my antagonist, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, joins me on the Goodyear Hotline. Dan, what's going on? Thanks for coming on, as always. Dan, I got to ask you right off the bat. Russell Wilson's list perplexes me. He doesn't want to be traded, but he lists four teams: the Raiders, the Bears, the Saints, and the Cowboys. Dan, if he's worried about his offensive line, well, the Cowboys' offensive line isn't what it used to be. The Bears' offensive line isn't any good. Like, what do those four teams have in common? What do you think? What do you make of his list of teams?
I think his list of teams has very little to do with football. I think his list of teams has every bit to do with brand and long-term legacy. And what I mean by that, it's Russell Wilson 10-plus years from now. If you look at those four teams, right, they're major cities, way more major than Seattle. Russell Wilson has been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL over the last decade, doesn't have a single MVP vote. I guarantee if he was playing like that in Dallas or playing like that in Chicago, or obviously Vegas is new, but New Orleans, like, he would have that MVP vote. And I think this is, how can I set myself up brand-wise, my family up brand-wise, to become the Magic Johnson of the NFL, you know? And there's also the reality that those four teams all have offensive-minded head coaches. I do think that there is a small reality that it is attached to football somewhat in regards to, I'm tired of playing for a defensive-minded head coach.
Well, that makes sense. There's a connection there. You're playing for like a bunch of quarterback whisperers, you know.
Yep.
And so that would make sense. But, and by the way, if you win a Super Bowl in Chicago, forget it. I mean, icon unlike anywhere, because they're starving for a Super Bowl. And they never had a quarterback ever in my lifetime, really. So I get that, although he threw his offensive line under the bus. And I think his O-line, Dan, in the last couple years, you know, the team's invested a little more and it's played better than, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago, right? Right after the Unger trade, for the Max Unger trade for a couple of years. It was really bad. But the Bears, their whole issue is the offensive line. Like, that's the issue. If you're worried about getting hit a lot, oh, my God, what do you think's going to happen there?
That's because I think he's just using that as the vehicle. I think he's just using that as a reason to say, hey, I'm unhappy in this marriage. You know what? Your communication isn't good enough. That's why I'm unhappy. You know, and I think he's just using this as, Max, let's just be honest here. He's thrown the offensive line under the bus. Mm-hmm. He's thrown the general manager under the bus because he said, I want to be more. He said, we haven't been good enough. I also need to be more involved in the personnel decisions. Mm-hmm. Well, the general manager is the guy that's putting the team together that you say isn't good enough. It's come out that he had that discussion with Pete Carroll that ended poorly. And now his agent says, well, these four teams. Yeah, like, at some point, and I love Russ, and he's a gajillion times better than I ever thought I could ever pretend to be. But at some point, this won't sit well.
Me
at
too.
Some point, this will have some form of an impact on that locker room.
Yeah, I agree with that. It sounds like a guy doesn't plan on being there, actually, to be honest. And by the way, we've put up stats on ESPN Plus, how many times he's been hit and sacked, most in the league. He does also hold the ball a bit and a bunch. And a lot of those hits were coming, really, it seems to me, both it showed up in the running game and in protecting Russell Wilson 2 to 3 years ago. It felt like it was worse than it is now. You know, I look, and there are some quarterbacks in the league who can now have the kind of power that NBA stars only used to have because they've made the position so important. And if you're truly one of the elite, you mentioned he never got an MVP vote, but over a 5-year period before Mahomes took over, you know, maybe not in any one of those seasons, but over the entire 5 seasons, he was the best quarterback in the NFL. So I get your point about wanting to play in a bigger market. You said about Dak today, don't pay good players great money. Okay, now I was exactly where you are a year ago. You don't overpay. Look what happened to Goff. Look what happened to Wentz. It's no good. You know how I felt about Wentz for the last, like, year and a half. It's not going to turn out well. But, Dan, I think the leverage has shifted in his direction now because the division's so weak. A quarterback gives you a good shot to host playoff games for the foreseeable future, and they're giving him $37 million on the franchise tag anyway. Do you still say they can't give him that kind of money?
Oh, I don't think they can. Absolutely not. But if the Cowboys want to give him the money, that's fine. That's their business decision, and that's Dak's business decision. But cross them off of a chance to even be, like, winning a playoff game. You just can't support the team good enough when your quarterback is not one of those 3, 4, 5, like, oh, my gosh, that dude just carried us. Our receivers are down. Our offensive line played terrible. Our defense gave up 35, and we still won those four games in a row because our quarterback was just so lights out. I get it. There's not that many of them. But at the end of the day, because everyone kills the Cowboys, just because Dak is the next guy in line or the franchise tag says X doesn't mean it's smart for the Cowboys to go, okay, well, even though you haven't been the greatest, like you've been a top 12 quarterback, top 10 quarterback, but you haven't been the top 4, we got to pay you this.
Right.
Why? Because then you're going to expect something from him that he's never been, and that's unfair to the player. Max, I'm going to put you on the spot here, and it's a tough question. Give me, like, the teams that you think are in the best situation going forward in the NFL, or, like, let's say the next 4 years. Mm-hmm. Give me the teams.
The Kansas City Chiefs, in spite of the fact they gave Patrick Mahomes all that money, because Patrick Mahomes is worth all of that and more. And by the way, Dan, I hate to say it, you know who the best player on the field in the Super Bowl was?
Tom Brady?
No. By the way, Patrick Mahomes, and I don't think it was close. Patrick Mahomes
was remarkable.
He was unbelievable. And it doesn't show up in the stats because they pressured him all the time, and they were running, and he had no offensive line, but he was unbelievable. I think Patrick Mahomes, you pay him all that money, you still go. Who else is set up? I think the Chargers, because of Justin Herbert on his rookie deal, to your point.
Exactly.
To your point, he's on his rookie deal. I think the Bills are set up very nicely because Josh Allen at this moment is still on his rookie deal. I think if Deshaun Watson winds up in Miami, look out for Miami. Let me see who else. I might be missing one or two teams. Baltimore needs to draft a stud wideout. I would say the Packers are set up very well because Rodgers just had one of his greatest seasons. But I understand what you're saying. You're like, if you pay the quarterback, he has to be stupid great in order to be a Super Bowl threat. I'd only say that the Dallas Cowboys, because of the NFC East, there's not another quarterback in the NFC East right now. You're probably going to host a playoff game.
And that's the place where I'll agree with you. I think that's a really good point that, okay, you pay Dak, more than likely in the next 4 years, you're looking at 3 division titles. I would agree. I think that's a very fair point.
Yeah. All right. So real quick, do you think – I know you think you and I have obviously debated Wentz for a long time. And I think that Indianapolis gives him his best chance. I'm not saying that's a better than 50-50 chance. I'm just saying you're with Reich, you're with a coach who knows he has to rebuild you. Got to rebuild everything. But at least you have a fighting chance. You think, on the other hand, oh, my God, that, Wentz is going to kill it in Indy. Why?
Yeah. But let me make myself clear. I think that if a lot of quarterbacks went to Indy, they were going to play good football, play well. Phillip Rivers was coming off of a 22-touchdown to 20-reception year. All of a sudden, he has one of the best years in the last 6 years of his career. So, if Dak Prescott went to Indy, I'd sit here and say, man, Dak Prescott is going to be an MVP candidate, absolutely. Because you've got an offensive line, a run game, skill players, great coaching, top 10 defense, really good drafting, first and second round picks this year are still available. So, I think it's a very good situation. Now, with Carson Wentz, I don't think Carson Wentz forgot how to play football. I think Carson Wentz had a bad year.
I think he forgot.
A difference between I disagree. I think it was a really soured situation that kind of snowballed. And I think that he is set up to play really confident and really aggressive football in Indy.
Dan Orlovsky, we will continue that debate, I'm sure, throughout the weeks, months, and maybe years. Thank you for joining me today on the Max Kellerman Show on the Goodyear Hotline. You can check Dan out all over ESPN platforms, especially if you watch Get Up and First Take and all the football show. There's Dan Orlovsky breaking down film better than anyone since John Gruden. Thanks, Dan. Goodyear helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear more driven. Coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to get to your calls. Get back to this Russell Wilson story, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN+. Here's the good news. Even with high unemployment, there's still need for hundreds of thousands of cybersecurity professionals in the U.S. right now. And My Computer Career is training people to help meet the demand. No IT experience? No problem. Take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. Start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Grants covering up to 53% of the cost are available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. Going to get back into the Lakers in about 15 minutes. Hit me up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I will leave you hanging on the line like a fool for the rest of the show and then never get to it. No, I'll try to get to the calls. What's the latest on Russell Wilson? Here's Marcus Spears, ESPN football analyst, on Shanae and Golic Jr.
I got mad today about this, Shanae, because if Russ wants out, I want Russ to say he wants out. Like, don't beat around the bush with it. Like, quarterbacks are making their claims now. They putting the line in the sand. They are telling teams what they want to do. So if Russ is going to be putting the breadcrumbs and doing interviews and beating around the bush, I'm like, it's nothing to talk about until something happens. Now, when Russ come out, or when and if Russ comes out and says, yeah, I want to get out of here, or it's not working for me in Seattle anymore, then I'm going to go crazy. I'm going to be like, this is the greatest offseason ever.
I hear what he's saying. Russell Wilson, it's been weird. Sometimes for a guy who is so real on the field, he comes across as, I've said this about athletes in the past. A friend of mine once said about A-Rod, A-Rod is so uncomfortable in his own skin that sometimes when he talks, you feel uncomfortable in yours when you watch him and listen to him talking. It's like he has to process everything. Is this the right thing to say? Is it compared to, let's say, Derek Jeter? They played on the same Yankees team. And we talked to Zion Williamson today on First Take. Williamson reminds me of Derek Jeter. He drank the Kool-Aid so long ago about how to lead and be a good teammate and try to win that the answers, the kind of bland, not going to answer your question answers and kind of politically correct in the sports world answers, like the sports world version of PC answers, where you're not going to give the press anything to chew on, where any question you ask, you're just focused on winning and helping and, you know, and the next game in front of you. That's a dude who really believes the stuff he's saying. He doesn't have to run it through a calculus in his mind, like a formula in his mind before he spits out his answer. He knows it because he believes it. Cam Newton used to feel so uncomfortable in his skin. When he gave an answer, I felt uncomfortable in mine. I think he's changed over the years. A lot of guys do. By the way, A-Rod as an analyst is amazing. Now that he's not talking about himself, he's able to be more honest, I think. Russell Wilson is a little bit in that category. If sometimes he says stuff, you're like, Russ, man, just tell the truth. What are you talking about? And for a guy who's so real on the field, it's just weird. But, you know, he can be that way. He threw his offensive line under the bus, and maybe they deserved it. They have not protected him great. But I think better last year or two than 2 or 3 years ago, it seems to me. And then the teams he said he wants to go to, if the offensive line is the issue, then why are you pointing to teams without offensive lines like the Bears? And by the way, the Cowboys don't have a great one anymore. The issue on the Seahawks this year was not the line. They blocked for the run. They pass protected okay, to my eye at least. Russ can get rid of the ball a little quicker sometimes. But it was the defense. Defense was no good. They brought in Jamal Adams to try to tip it from a bend-don't-break defense to maybe a defense that could do something. But Adams was hurt all year, and they were a bend-and-break defense, as it turned out. I know what Marcus is talking about. Here's Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, on the latest on Russell Wilson.
While he's not demanding a trade, he's leaving open the idea of a trade, and even that gets the mind going and gets the attention of executives across the league. And I can tell you that those teams should be figuring out what it would take to get a deal done for a future Hall of Fame quarterback to bring in there, even if they don't get divorced now, it certainly seems that at some point in the future that they're headed that way. It may not be this offseason. It may be a year from now. But at some point, it seems like these two sides are destined to go their own ways.
And because of his age and his decline in the second half of the season, I think Russell Wilson will come cheaper than Deshaun Watson. I agree with Adam, but I think he's going to come cheaper than Deshaun Watson. If you lose out on Deshaun Watson, Russell Wilson's a hell of a consolation prize. The Hall of Famer. Future Hall of Famer. All right, I'm going to do a lightning round of calls right now. Lightning round means you have 20, 30 seconds to say your piece, but that includes all the fumbling and bumbling in the beginning, the Max, what's up, how you doing, all that stuff. You want to tell me how great I am or how terrible I am? You can do that right off the top, and then start talking. Make your point. Damn it. Donnie in Texas, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go.
Hey, Max. Max, been watching you for 10 years. You're the only guy my age, actually 1 year older than me, that knows more boxing than me. Been a big fan. But listen, you gave Patrick Mahomes every excuse in the book when they lost to Tampa Bay. Aaron Rodgers was better against that defense, and I was on your side about Aaron Rodgers being the best you ever seen. You settled many arguments in my household between me and my dad because Max said so. But you were wrong about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers played a great game against
the Wait, Donnie, that was an excellent call. See how Donnie, I want everyone to listen to the way Donnie did that. He didn't have to like me. He could have said I was terrible. That's fine. But he got right to it and then made his point with some energy and some life. He's saying, let me just say, I criticized Aaron Rodgers for his performance against the Bucs, but then I gave Patrick Mahomes credit. That's a legitimate point. He's observant. Here's the difference. Aaron Rodgers had a real chance to win that game. And what I'm really talking about is before the half, he put the ball in receivers' hands, but barely. They were good throws, not great throws to receivers that missed the ball, that like didn't catch the ball. I get it. But they didn't score, and they had to kick a field goal. They didn't score the touchdown. And then he did not have a chance on fourth down, but on third down, he had daylight to the end zone. And even if they would have gotten him, it would have been on like the 1 yard line. They certainly would have went for it. He didn't make that play, so Brady beat him. Mahomes is in a different situation. His offensive line gave him no chance. None. He was on the run for his life all game and did things physically that were superhuman. So I hear what you're saying. Had Mahomes been in this position Aaron Rodgers was in and he didn't make the play that could have won the game or kept his team in the game and showed bad judgment, I would be on Mahomes. That's not what I saw. His team got whooped up so bad, he was never in that position. If the Mavs, by the way, Mavs and Nets tomorrow on ABC right here on ESPN Radio also, I think James Harden's going to get in the zone. He knows he's going up against Luka. Get in the Zone is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the Zone, AutoZone. All right, coming up. I took one call there, not exactly a lightning round, although Donnie was really followed the rules. Coming up. I'm going to take more. We're going to do lightning round. That means you state whatever it is you want to state. You love me, you hate me, you don't have to talk about me at all. You can just get to your point. You're going to have about 20 seconds to make your point. Then next, plus, big game for the Lakers tonight here on ESPN. Can they snap their streak, their losing streak? The college basketball season is heating up, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has begun. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of Wooden Award late season top 20 nominees to watch as this season rolls on. Hunter Dickinson and the number 3 Michigan Wolverines knocked off number 9 Iowa at home last night, 79-57. Michigan improves to 17-1 on the year. John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's, 888-SAY-ESPN, the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. Last take will be your take. Hang on the line, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's a lightning round. State your position. You could tell me you love me or hate me. I don't care. You don't have to talk about me. State your position. You have like 20 seconds to spit it out. But first, the Lakers looking to snap their losing streak with a big game against Portland, 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Lakers now third in the Western Conference. Same record as the Eastern Conference leader, Philadelphia 76ers, 22-11. Won twice as much as they lost, but not long ago, Lakers had the best record in basketball. All right. The NBA is on ESPN Radio. Tune in Sunday as Giannis and the Bucks host Kawhi and the Clippers. That's a good matchup. Presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN radio stations.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
Denny in New York, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. Go!
Max, what's up? Great show. Listen, Russell Wilson should do exactly what Watson did. He's sitting there more worried about his image than anything. His offensive line, I wouldn't want to block for him now if you're going to throw him under the bus like that. Right. He should have just went to management behind the scenes and said, step up your game or I'm out of here.
It is curious. Why would you throw the offensive line under the bus if you plan on being there? Sounds like to me he doesn't want some of those guys back or he ain't going to be there. Ben in Louisiana, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I enjoy your show. Real quick, I want to tell you, I'm a Saints fan, and I think if Drew Brees does retire, I would like the Saints to sign Ryan Fitzpatrick, release Winston, and draft a quarterback and mentor him. I think we're one quarterback away from the Super Bowl.
What about Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson put the Saints on his list. What about Russell Wilson?
We can't afford him. Too much money. You know, we don't need him.
Well, I agree with you. Russell Wilson's very expensive. And how do you match that up? But there are ways you can do it. You can finesse it. And I think if the Saints had Russell Wilson, they are, I mean, I thought they were Super Bowl contenders this year, but the fact of the matter is, and it's very disappointing. And maybe it's because he had all the fractured ribs and the punctured lung in it to rehab and everything, but Drew Brees was tied in the fourth quarter with Tom Brady. And in retrospect, maybe Brady had a better team because the Bucs were firing on all cylinders, both sides of the ball. But Brees had a hell of a team, and he'd beaten Brady twice in the regular season. And I tweeted out at the time, okay, fourth quarter, game's in your hands, Drew Brees. Brady is ahead of Brees on the all-time list because more often than not, Brady has come through in that situation. You know, ball's in your court, Drew Brees, he didn't come through, and Brady did. And it's not just that you need to replace Drew Brees. You need to upgrade at quarterback from this version of Drew Brees. John in New Mexico, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, longtime fan. I was just hearing Mel Kiper talking about the Falcons trading up in the draft, and I was wondering if Julio Jones comes back healthy, who do you think the Falcons would be more at a loss of losing if they trade them, Matt Ryan or Julio Jones?
Who should they keep or who should they trade is what I'm asking now.
Who would they be at a loss if they traded more?
Who would they be? I can't understand what he said. But I would say this about the Falcons. You ain't about to win a Super Bowl. Both Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, you would think, have enormous trade value, even at their numbers. And the Falcons would have to consider that. The Falcons, to me, do they need to rebuild? You know, I mean, the fact is, once Shanahan left, what happened to the offense? Have they ever really threatened since then? It looked like the NFC was going to have to deal with that Falcons offense for the next 5 years at least. It's not what happened. So if that's what made them special and that's not there anymore, and I think Matt Ryan can still play, but not like he once did, then what do you have Julio Jones around for? You can get stuff for him. Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, in the Eastern Conference, from teams number 4 through number 13, separate 9 teams separated by 3 games.
Yep.
The Knicks are involved in the playoffs starting tonight. Every game is either a playoff game or a play-in game. That means that every time they go on the court, they're playing for their playoff lives. That's fantastic, what's going on in New York. So we love them. We love them. They shouldn't make any changes. Keep the team as is. And as long as they get in through 1 through the 10th seed, they'll make the playoffs. And that's all we're asking for in New York. That'll be an improvement.
Richard, so that's a hell of a call. No, I'm going to stop you right there, Richard. Don't go past where you're good. Who is that punctilious, the guy who... Not punctilious, but the guy who painted with the red afro. You know who I'm talking about. I'm forgetting his name now. He passed away years ago, but he used to do those paintings on public access or on cable TV. And he always like finished the painting. You were like, great. And then he would keep going. You're like, wait, I liked it a couple strokes before. Yeah, Bob Roth, right? Was that his name? Ross, Bob Ross. Always it's like, no, Bob, you're done right now. And then he would go a little farther. He'd go, I liked it, but it's still good, but I liked it better a little bit before. That's Richard's call. Richard had a perfect call, and he kept going. He's right. What a way to frame it, Richard. Every game is a playoff or a play-in game here on out for the New York Knicks. That's exciting. Andre in Massachusetts, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Afternoon, Max. I have to agree with Richard. The Nets are the talk of the league. The Nets are the toast of the league. Excuse me. The New York Knicks need to be the toast of the town and the Big Apple. I will tell you why. They are 2 games away from the number 4 seed. Forget about the play-in tournament. 2 games away from the number 4 seed. That's home court advantage. The team is Tibbs tough. You got a capable general leading the troops. And in conclusion, you have Leon Rose.
All right, we got 5 seconds. Andre, you and Richard should have your own radio show, I think. The Richard and Andre. Andre and Richard Show. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Max Kellerman Show. Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.